Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. If you have Bible questions or if you're struggling with some life issue, well, we invite you to call right now and speak live with us at 844-322-2742. If you're listening on CSN or Sirius XM, voicemail your question to us at the same U.S. and Canada number, again, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going through the Word of God this month and looking at various passages that teach us about assurance of salvation, and we certainly all need assurance, especially in this day and age. And today we're looking at one of my favorite passages, Hebrews 10:14, and Andrew Farley joins us today, and he's going to chime in on this discussion and bring his keen and expert insight into what this passage means and the practical applications. But let me just read it. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So I think the three words there that really stand out to me is the fact that he has perfected us. Mm-hmm. We're all striving to be our best. We want to be better. We judge ourselves. We grade ourselves time and time again. And God has already marked us with a grade of perfect.
Yes.
And that's not bad.
Not bad.
It's not a bad grade at all. And the second thing is for all time. I mean, this isn't just a temporary grade. This is for all time.
And that's even better.
That's right. And that brings about assurance. That brings about confidence. And this is all the result of Christ's finished work on the cross. So, Andrew, this is just a powerful verse. It's simple in its message, but it's profound in its application, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, how many times have we heard on the airwaves on Sunday morning or even read in a Christian book that our forgiveness is something that's ongoing, that our forgiveness is day after day or sin after sin? We can become so obsessive about it that we try to get right and stay right with God every day, trying to get in fellowship and stay in fellowship, trying to get clean and get close. And somebody says, well, how do I do that? And there's five different formulas out there. Well, you've got to confess first, or you've got to adore him first and then confess, and then give thanksgiving, and then ask him maybe for forgiveness. Or, you know, whether it's an apology-based system or a confession-based system or a prayer-based system of any kind, many of us have accidentally or unknowingly adopted a words-based system for forgiveness. And what I love is that this is the opposite. This is saying it's not about your words, it's about one sacrifice. It's not about your confessions, it's about the blood of Jesus. It's not about what you do for God, it's about what he did for you, and it is finished. And as a result of it being finished, verse 14 says he's perfected you for all time. Now, I've seen people, Bob, who will take this verse and still flub it up. I've seen them take this verse and say, well, wait a minute, though. It says those who are being sanctified, and that's progressive, so maybe we're only forgiven if we're sanctified. Well, nonsense. The NASB translates this as those who are sanctified. And what he's saying here is that throughout history, there's more and more people getting saved. There's more and more people getting sanctified. There's more and more people getting set apart because there's more and more people who are going to hear the gospel and believe it. And when they do, guess what? They are perfected for all time by one offering. So if you're listening today and you're in Jesus Christ, you are a totally forgiven person, past, present, future, for all time, as good as it is to be sorry, as healthy as it is to confess your struggles and turn from sin. Absolutely, that is good and healthy. But that is not how we got forgiven. We got forgiven by blood once for all on that cross. So as I like to say, guys, there are many reasons to turn from sin, but getting more forgiveness is not one of them. It's finished.
That's exactly right. And I love how the writer of Hebrews continues along in that discussion and really puts an exclamation on that when he says, from the new covenant, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. That's what it means to be made perfect forever in the sight of God, that he is not going to remember your sins at any time, either right now or in the future. So count on that. Bank on it. Trust it. Thank God for it. And live your life confidently in the love of Jesus Christ.
Friends, you're hearing it from two of the very best Bible teachers you're going to hear, and both of them, of course, great exponents of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're glad you're with us today. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis, and we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the live broadcast at roughly 6 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, it is live, and we would love to hear from you. Love for you to come into the studio and talk with us directly at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing a late broadcast, you can leave your voicemail at the same number, 844-322-2742. And Bob, we've talked about how the COVID-19 virus impacted support for Basic Gospel, but yesterday you mentioned that we had seen an encouraging response from our listener friends, and now we're only today and tomorrow away from the end of the month. So what's the remaining need in the time we have left?
Well, Bob, thanks for mentioning that. And certainly we have had an outpouring of generosity from longtime friends and some brand new friends, people we've just met in the last 2 or 3 weeks. And so we say thank you for stepping up and giving generously at this time. We still have about 15,000 to hit the target that we were aiming at by midnight tomorrow. And really all that does is set us up for a great fourth quarter of the year and, really get some momentum going. And let's just keep this momentum going that's happening right now. So yeah. We have about $15,000 left. If a lot of people do a little bit, we can get that knocked out in a hurry.
Very good. Very good. Friends, please help today by clicking donate at basicgospel.net. Again, that's our regular website, basicgospel.net. And when you do, we want to send you a copy of our CD resource, Trail of Assurance. Of course, that's what Bob was speaking of at the opening of the program, to help you truly understand the love of God that's made clear through Scripture. So request your copy of Trail of Assurance when you make your gift at basicgospel.net. Well, guys, a call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hi, my name is Daniel calling from Toledo, Ohio, and I was wondering if there was something I'm missing in God's Word. I was turned down for a career job at the end of July of this year. It was something that I had prayed about, my wife had prayed about, we had others in the church praying about, and after 6 weeks of a hiring process trying to get through this company, I was turned down and ended up now just working a basic non-career job. We prayed about it. It didn't happen. And is there something I didn't get, something in God's Word that I didn't do right? Or I know God knows what I need. Please help me out. Thank you.
That's a great question, isn't it, Andrew? And I think there's going to be a lot of people that have a similar question. They've had a similar experience. They were expecting something to happen. They were trusting God for that thing to happen. They've prayed. They've done everything they felt they were supposed to do, and yet the outcome wasn't what they had hoped for. So What's the deal with that? I mean, how do we handle that? Is there something that Daniel missed? Is there something that other people may have missed as far as their relationship with Christ? Or is this just a part of life?
Yeah. Well, Daniel, first, we are so sorry that you're going through something that is stressful like this. I mean, you're not alone. As Bob said, think about all the people who in this pandemic, because of the circumstances of a business, have had to let whole departments go or let a number of people go. And so we've been through a lot here on planet Earth in the United States and around the world, and I have no doubt that played a role in what you experienced. But, I think the bottom line is you're asking, hey, could I have done something differently? Was there a different button to push? Was there a different formula to put into play? Was there a different prayer that I should have been praying, or a different attitude that I should have had that would have activated this job for me? And the answer to that is no, that we live in a fallen world, and God is certainly, he is not in the business of always making sure that Christians get to escape this fallen world. And I would say that a lot of what you experienced has to do with fallen world and unbelieving minds and businesses thinking about themselves and who knows. But you ask about the will of God, and you go to 2 Peter 3, you see that the will of God is that people come to repentance. That's his heart. And then the will of God in 1 Thessalonians 5 is that we celebrate Jesus, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks. This is the will of God. Then in Ephesians 1, we see the mystery of God's will is that he brings salvation to the Jews and the Gentiles. So I guess what I'm saying is Scripture tells us that God's will is Jesus. And you have him, Daniel. You've got Christ living in you. And if that's the case, then you have God's will. You have called upon him to be saved. You now have reasons to give thanks for him in the midst of all things, including these ugly circumstances. So, you know, I grew up, I don't know how you grew up, but I grew up with this view of God's will that I had to chase after it, find it. It was very secretive. I had to get messages from heaven about what house and what spouse and what job and what car and all those sorts of things. And then I could fall in and out of God's will. It was kind of like a target. I was always trying to hit the bullseye, but I could never quite make it. And as soon as I thought I was in, maybe I walked through the wrong door, and now I'm out again. And that can be very paralyzing. And so our encouraging word to you this afternoon, Daniel, is that if you're in Christ, you're in God's will. God's will is Jesus. He wants to cause you to bear fruit no matter what job you have, no matter what car you have, no matter what home you might have. And so it's a mirage and a deception of the enemy that we would pour in all the right quarters, all the right formula, pull down the handle, and out comes the for sure yes answer to prayer. I mean, how many of us listening right now have had no answers? We've had either silence or the answer was no, a door shut on us on an opportunity. And then we're shaking our fist at heaven going, what's happening, Lord? Why didn't you do this for me? And we may not have all those answers, Bob, not until heaven, but we do have the answer. His name is Jesus. He lives in us. And I think that we have to give up our rights and basically have that attitude of health that Paul did. He said, whether I have plenty or whether I'm in need, whether I'm hungry or whether I'm filled, Jesus Christ is the secret of contentment. And when I start grabbing a hold of that, Bob, I've got something unshakable and unbreakable.
Absolutely. Well, Andrew, let's speak to this aspect of Daniel's question as well. How many of us really, you know, are stuck in legalism as far as our relationship with God? I mean, the Old Testament was an if-then proposition. If you obey my statutes and all my commandments, then you will be my people and I will be your God. So yeah. God made some promises, but they were dependent upon Israel's keeping of those promises, and they failed on their end. And so many of us still approach God through that mindset. You know, I've done this, I've prayed, we've prayed about this, so there's an expectation that because we've done what we're supposed to do, then God is obligated to do what we want him to do. And that's just legalism, isn't it?
Yes, it comes back to that slot machine analogy. We're imagining that we pour in the prayer, we pour in the obedience, we pour in the right formula, we pour in the faith, and then we expect to have perfectly answered prayers just the way we want them. And Jesus was praying, not my will, but your will be done. And so he had some insight there, even in his divinity plus his humanity. That's that type of existence on earth, 33 years walking as one of us. He says, not my will, but your will be done. And so it's that releasing. It's a releasing of expectations. And you're right. I mean, there's a form of it out there called the prosperity gospel. It says if you believe hard enough, you'll be rich. Then there's another flavor. It has to do with health and wealth, both. It says if you believe hard enough, you'll always be healthy. And then we've got a watered-down version of those heresies going on in the Christian world today. And that is that if you just believe hard enough, you're going to get exactly what you prayed for yesterday. And if you just do things right, if you just obey, and if you just serve, and if you just volunteer, and if you just pray enough and get enough people praying, then because of the sheer quantity of prayers, I mean, you're twisting God's arm at this point, and he's just going to be convinced. And that sort of teaching, it's out there. It's subtle. It is said in direct ways and indirect ways. And if we start picking up on that, we're going to be disappointed because, you know, again, God's will is Jesus. That is the one thing that we can hang on to for life, even as he hangs on to us forever. We can count on him, and that is God's will. God's will is Jesus.
Absolutely.
Well, it is Basic Gospel, everybody. The voices you're hearing, Andrew Farley, Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Again, we welcome you. And if you have about 16 after 3 p.m. Central Time, you still have time to call and speak directly with us at 844-322-2742. Again, that number, good in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. And guys, an email question from a Texas listener. She writes that her husband has been mean and verbally abusive, taking off from work and drinking. She says, he accuses me of everything. I told him that it seems like he is unhappy with himself and thus lashes out at me. Then he goes off on me and tells me to stop trying to analyze him. Tough situation, guys. What do you say?
Very tough situation. And we see this happening a lot in marriages all across the country and around the world. And it gets down to a point of, are we secure in ourselves? Are we secure in Christ Jesus? And oftentimes when you see threats and accusations coming forth from an individual, it's a sign that they are insecure on the inside. They really don't know who they are. They don't know what they have in Christ Jesus. And it's hard to deal with that until they find their security in Christ. Andrew, you've come across this quite a bit, haven't you?
Yeah, and I would say that underneath the anger, at least for men, I can vouch for this, being one and living as one, underneath the anger is hurt. And I don't think that we men are very good at expressing that hurt. It seems like society has told us that we're supposed to be strong and we're supposed to appear strong at all times. So if I'm hurt, I'm not going to come to you, especially to my wife. I don't want to be humiliated in front of her. I don't want to be embarrassed. And so rather coming to her and saying I'm hurt, I'm going to come with a strong anger. And all the while underneath what is masked there many times, Bob, is a hurt. And so I would just encourage him, if we had the opportunity to talk with him, what I would have said to him is that, we got to figure out what kind of pain he's in and figure out who he might need to forgive. Because when you've been threatened, maybe at work there's something going on, a reason that he's not going to work, a reason that he's staying home, a reason that he's looking to alcohol, it sounds like he might be trying to escape a situation there at work that could be painful in one way or another. But regardless, he has his issues that he needs to walk through and take care of. I believe they involve some pain, some hurt, and a need for forgiveness. And then next time he reacts to his wife, he won't be on a level 7 already and then fly up to a level 10 instantaneously. He'll be a little more settled as he learns to trust Jesus Christ with his outlook and his perspective and even the struggles that we go through. I mean, you know, just for men and women alike to say, this happened to me, this hurt me deeply, this is how it hurt me, Lord, and I know you've made me a forgiving person, so I'm trusting you right now, living your life in me. I trust you to forgive this person, and I release this person in your name. And I release them from expectations. They may never apologize. They may never do better. They may never treat me more fairly. There's something going on in this husband. It's not coming out of nowhere. And so if he were willing to get some help from a Christian counselor, that might be a great route. You know, we have a resource called The Hurt and the Healer, Bob, that we could put in his hands to help him as well. But I think the wife is stuck in a situation of trying to analyze and counsel, and that's not going to be her role. So she's going to have to release him to the Lord and hope that he will seek counsel. And certainly, again, I'm happy to get this this little book, a counseling-type book that certainly deals with these issues, Bob. We could put that in their hands.
Yes, indeed.
If anyone is dealing with those issues, we encourage you to call us at 844-322-2742. You can call us any time of the day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Let us know what you're going through, and as Andrew said, we'll be glad to get a resource into your hands.
Yes, indeed. Well, Javier is watching us, Andrew, on our YouTube webcast. And he wants to know how to break out of a legalistic mindset. And he writes, he remembers his pastor when he was a young kid telling them that the type of music that you're listening to is going to send you straight to hell. So how do you break free from something that's had such a stronghold in your mind for many, many, many years?
Yeah, well, you know, I think of the passage in 1 Corinthians where Paul is talking about meat sacrifice to idols. And, you know, this is in chapter 8. He says that meat sacrifice to idols is nothing to freak out about. And, you know, back then they were saying, no, wait a minute. No, this was pagan meat. I mean, these are Beelzebub burgers here. you know, I know where these were bought. They were bought at Satan's surplus. And so, you know, there was a pagan temple grocery store, and people would buy that meat because it was the meat available. They take it home, fry it up, enjoy it. But then Christians started wondering, you know, is there something pagan about me eating this, or is this sanctified? Is this okay because I'm giving thanks to God? And Paul's whole point is, look, there are no other gods. There are no idols really to speak of. I mean, fallen angels are not on par with God anyway. They're petty. They're pitiful. So forget about it. Eat with thankfulness in your heart. And so then you come to issues today, guys, like what about a glass of wine, or what about a can of beer, or what about you know, this, that, the a tattoo, or what about it, smoking a cigar at somebody's party, or whatever. I mean, we could go on and on and list 10 things. And there are matters of conscience out there, and there are health issues out there, and sure, there are addictions out there. But at the end of the day, we have to say, I'm in Christ, and there's no condemnation for me, so I'm going to fuel up on the love and grace of God. And as we read in the Scriptures in 2 Peter, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And once you get to know Him, you become free. And when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. Free to be discerning, free to be wise, free to abandon legalism and trust Jesus with every single life issue.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Andrew, as always. Javier, I hope that is a big help to you. You know, stop looking at the things you're doing and look at what Christ has done for you through His death, burial, and resurrection. That will change your mind for sure. Absolutely. Well, thank everybody for joining with us today. Bob, take it away.
Please remember, friends, that Basic Gospel needs your support right now. Bob has told us that through the rest of today and tomorrow, we're going to need roughly $15,000 to $18,000 to keep our radio stations on board and to pay the other bills necessary to bring this program to you every day. So please click donate at basicgospel.net and let's keep this good news coming for you and for everyone. And for the rest of the short time remaining, we want to send you a copy of our new CD, the latest CD series called Trail of Assurance. Bob has been talking about it at the opening of every program this month, and it's a wonderful resource. We want you to have a copy of it, Trail of Assurance, because as the Scripture says throughout, God loves you. Again, please donate as soon as you can at basicgospel.net. And As you make your September gift, I want to remind you once again to request your copy of this latest resource, Trail of Assurance, our way of saying thanks for your support for Basic Gospel. But again, please make your donation at the earliest at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with thanks to Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.